And welcome back to episode 140 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Oh, Carl, we are back on air after a slightly longer break than anticipated. Not helped by scheduling issues, holidays.
Major scheduling issues, yeah.
and a dose of COVID as well.
And a broken foot along the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If we had every excuse under the sun, we probably couldn't add all those up together, could we?
No, so, exactly.
We are back, though. And I have to say, COVID has not gone and is not forgotten about. I'll tell you that now.
You're feeling it, Jay.
I was feeling it last week, like a steam train had hit me from behind.
Wow.
That wasn't just me, though. It was my family as well. So, yeah, we should obviously be aware that it still is there and will not be going anywhere, I guess.
Yeah,
the best way to look at
definitely
it.
Definitely not.
Well, we're back, and yes, I'm slightly croaky, but we're back, and this week we're going to talk Musk suing himself. Well, kind of. We're going to talk Threads. We're going to talk Meta. We're going to talk Netflix and its weird business model. We're going to talk about weird 10 gig a second infrared. What, the same thing that I point my remote the TV with? Yes, infrared. Yep. Sony has bowed down or backed off, I don't know how you want to put it, around Call of Duty. And if you are living in Russia and listening to this, well, first off, congratulations. But B, how are you listening to it? Because apparently iPhones are bad. So, and the Tech Rant rumor mill is back as well with a little rumor around the M3. But let's talk about Musk then. Because since we were last on air, Twitter is no more.
Well, no, it's not. It's is it X, isn't it?
X, and yes, I pick up my phone here. I have the X app.
Yep, the X logo.
Do we tweet anymore, or do we just X?
I don't know. It's not really sure, is it?
I don't know what's going on. But yeah, he has gone full Tony Stark and rebranded everything as X, isn't it? Which apparently, if you think about it, is a kind of a throwback to what he did originally with PayPal and everything.
Yeah, he is. He was the
X Corp, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, that was his previous business that kind of merged with PayPal, wasn't it? And he wanted to rebrand the whole thing as X, but obviously didn't get anywhere.
No, so bringing it right back around then. So the boss of X Corp has decided to sue the lawyers who were representing the company formerly known as Twitter when it sued him for trying to
not buy them
a big takeover that cost them $44 billion last year.
Yeah. So once you've got your mind around that one. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So Twitter apparently paid this law firm called, is it Wachtell, Lipton, Rosen and Katz? So when Musk said he was going to buy them, then tried to get out of buying them, Twitter obviously hired these lawyers to sue Musk into actually following through and buying them. But now they've got the bill, isn't it? Which is around $90 million. and Musk obviously doesn't want to pay for anything. So he's now wants some of that money back, and he's filed a lawsuit, hasn't he? So X Corp alleges that this law firm, Wachtell, basically, they're a center of spending sprees put, yeah, by Twitter's departing executives, whom the suit claims ran up a tab at Twitter by, among other things, facilitating the improper payment of substantial gifts to preferred law firms like Wachtell, on top of the firm's full hourly billings, by designating tens of millions of dollars in handouts to the firms as success or project fees. So rather than these having not just the hourly costs, is my understanding, that when they hit certain objectives, they'd get tens of millions of dollars as bonuses. And Musk is obviously trying to get that back, he says. In some of the briefing, he's put out emails from previous directors where they've gone to the board to have this signed off. And even one of the directors has gone, oh my freaking God, how much? But apparently they signed, or as he's put it, Twitter's lame duck board members approved it anyway.
Well, I guess it wasn't going to be their problem, was it?
Well, no, I guess not. Exactly.
But I mean, granted, this does seem a lot of money. And there is some irony in that now you're the man having to pay the bill for the company that was
Just follow through on your promise, you wouldn't have had this bill, would you?
It's just hilarious. It just is hilarious that, you know, this keeps on coming around. I mean, so we now have, it's now X Corp is alleging this, and it is now saying that it's the sale to Elon Musk and his entities, which are X Holdings 1 Incorporated and X Holdings 2 Incorporated. I mean, does
original names.
No imagination at all, does he?
No. It's just another case that everything he does come around to bite him in the backside, isn't it? I mean, if he'd just followed through with his initial promise, he wouldn't have been sued into buying the company and therefore wouldn't have this bill to pay.
No, and there's been some interesting there's been some interesting valuations, isn't there, on the company. Obviously, they're private now. There's no way of getting
about $44 billion.
But there's some people have been doing some calculations based on the fact that, according to Musk himself, he's lost, isn't it, half of his advertising revenue.
Yeah.
So, based on what that was, it I think you know we're seeing that, what's it, some figures, I think companies worth about $4 billion now or something like that. I saw some.
Oh, and I saw a generous one at 14, and I thought, well, that was probably too much.
Well, this is the worry, isn't it? You know, what is the company actually worth? But you know, $90 million is a lot of money, regardless of whether you're paying the bill or somebody else is paying the bill. Is he going to win this? Who knows? I mean, but this is again typical Musk behavior, isn't it, of the way he's trying to recoup money from other places. I mean, business. I mean, if this is true, and if that email from one of those Twitter board members, as you say, it was like, oh my freaking god, that is quite hilarious.
Yeah,
but, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose it is what it is, and the NES himself to blame for it. But whether he'll get anywhere with it, I don't know. He bought a company that already agreed to pay this.
Well, this is it, isn't it? You... No, I mean...
I already have to pay this because of his own actions.
I have to say, I struggle to understand the whole, how this got to this point, you know.
No, I think if this gets to court, I think a judge is probably going to laugh it out of court.
I do as well, because clearly this is going to be a... A contractual agreement that was signed for and agreed prior to his arrival at the company, wasn't it?
He should have done his due diligence.
I was just going to say, and therefore, you've accepted the terms and conditions, you've inherited the company, you've inherited, therefore, you know, the contractual obligations, which include paying the legal bills to yourself. Yes, that's quite weird. I mean, it just gets weirder. I mean, I can't help but wonder if the whole thing is just publicity stunt every time.
I mean, it could be, but I mean, what kind of publicity is it? I mean, because maybe it's just me and you, because we look at this and go, what an idiot. But maybe others aren't. Maybe other people aren't having the same view we have on it, and I don't know. I mean, I'd be hard pushed to see anyone thinking anything else, but I could be wrong.
I, personally speaking, I think there are people out there, the same people, dare I say it, who see people like Donald Trump and think that they are great inspirational people who are great leaders, etc., etc. Whilst those are slightly more misguided as well, I feel the people, perhaps some of these who look at Musk and say, yay, you know, it's a way forward. And it just is a little bit odd. It just is a little bit odd. I mean, the whole thing recently with the whole, because we're going to talk about Threads in a second, aren't we? So, you know, when Threads was launching, and you know, didn't Elon say that didn't they peak at something like 100 million signups, which is now, has now sort of gone the other way, hasn't it?
It has.
And Zuck himself was admitted that as such. I did see the other day that earlier in this month, Elon Musk actually proposed a male genitalia measuring contest.
Oh, I had heard that one. Yeah, I was going, seriously?
There is a tweet where he states, I propose a literal, I will not say the word, it's four letters, measuring contest, and had a ruler emoji.
Okay, but is that on top of the cage fight?
It's on top of the cage fight. It's on top of the cage fight, and apparently it's because there is... there was a screenshot of Threads that had the Wendy's brand saying that apparently they tweeted or threaded, I don't know what the right word is, threaded, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Threaded Zuck to say, you should go to space just to make him mad. Zuck replied in a smile. And then Elon replied with, Zuck is a insert of another word. And then he proposed a measuring contest with him.
Right.
It's just childish.
Beyond belief.
You know, like in the Simpsons episodes where you tend to have like two people, you know, like sometimes these billionaires and they're fighting over stuff.
I know the ones. Yeah.
You know, like this is the literal incarnation of caricatures of billionaires that have got so much. They're basically world money. Everything is just irrelevant. So what else can we do? Well, I don't know. We'll just have a spat in front of the world. Because, you know, like you say, we've got this cage fight. We've got this, you know, they've now got their own social media networks. And I don't mean like Facebook, but like the equivalents that are now just basically just shouting insults at each other. It's just...
Yeah. And I mean to say, did you see the whole thing about the new X logo and the fact it's just, they've just gone into Word, chosen a random font, typed in X, and that's the new logo.
Yeah, and didn't you also, when he took off the letters of Twitter off the side of the building in San Francisco, allegedly he didn't have a works permit.
No.
And the police stopped him. Yeah. And now you've got what appears to be like, you know, the letters carved off the wall, so it looks very untidy, and what can only be described as the Batman equivalent of the X logo on the roof now that
does it light up from behind and cast it into the sky?
It does. It does. It lights up at night. It's just...
God.
Oh, my... I mean, this is... Elon Musk is a caricature of Bruce Wayne, but not a great one, is he? You know?
If Bruce Wayne was to do it all wrong...
Yes, and was the complete and utter yes.
Yeah, something he's going to measure.
So yes, something he's going to measure. So yes, moving across, and let's talk about Threads. So Threads,
yeah,
you know, it's still moving strongly, isn't it? There's still a lot of progress here, but we're not getting it over here in UK yet.
Oh, sorry, we'll get it in the UK. We just don't have it in Europe.
Sorry, in the EU, there are still many countries in the EU that still don't have it. And you're not going to be getting it either with a VPN, apparently, are you?
No. So clearly, a lot of people were desperate to get on Fred, weren't they, and give Zuckerberg more of their data because that app has pretty much every permission you can ask for.
Sucking that data up.
Yeah, they basically resorted to using VPNs to kind of fool it into thinking they're in the US or the UK or a country it's available in. But apparently, yeah. Zuckerberg has stopped that, hasn't they? Meta has blocked Fred access via a VPN, and they put out a statement saying, you know, Fred's is not currently available in most countries in Europe, and we're taking additional steps to prevent people based there from accessing it at this time. Europe continues to be an incredibly important market for Meta, and we hope to make Fred's available here in the future, once we figure out how to steal your data legally. I put that bit on the end. That wasn't really in the statement.
No. So they launched in about 100 countries, didn't they?
Yeah.
Excluding the complete European Union. And as we pretty much have understood, we believe this is due to the incoming Digital Markets Act and also the existing data collection rules that are in place. Yeah. Now, it is possible to get on Threads. We're not going to tell you how to do that today, but you can do it. There are ways around it. But a VPN does seem the most logical way of doing on it. But this doesn't appear to be a hard stop of, you know... it appears to be more, and according to a statement by Simon Migliano, who is one of the top 10 VPN head of research, who put out these findings. According to him, they think it's more of a PR process, a PR stunt, as opposed to a serious attempt, isn't it? And I guess it's more to kind of appease any potential regulation, isn't it?
I imagine so.
We're trying to stop these EU users, you know, but they're so persistent, of course. I mean, how can you blame them? We have such a great product, cough. I mean, but I was shocked, though, right, to see what data it is hoovering up.
Oh, it's everything.
It is absolutely unbelievable. So including, you know, search location, you got history, browsing history, you've got the targeted ad information. Apparently, it will look at financial data. It will look at health information. I mean, what this is... When did you need all of that? Again, the answer comes back to you are the product here, isn't it, as always?
Yep.
It's just absolutely unbelievable. What does it want all of that for? Well, it wants it for advertising because that's what Meta
wants. It doesn't need it for you. It needs it for Meta.
No. And as we've said before, the number of Threads users, so it peaked around 100 million, we think, give or take. Mm. And Zuck himself said that they expected that to fall. And apparently the active users now is down to about, I think they've said it's down by about 20% or so. And also the time spent on Threads has reduced around to 20 to 10 minutes. From 20 to around 10 minutes per session again. Now that may or may not equate to everybody, but that's an average as such. And a lot of this is due to some of the features that are still wanting to be released, isn't it? Now I do understand they've released the chronological feeds are now available, but some of the other kind of, I guess, standard features that you have in Twitter and other areas are not there yet as well. But I guess it's like a lot of stuff. People, you know, were wanting to jump on the bandwagon. I saw so many tweets that said, I'm now on Threads, just have a look. I haven't fallen from that, personally speaking. I didn't go over there. But a lot of people have, I suppose. But I suppose it's FOMO, isn't it? I've got to be there. I've got to have a look. I've got to see what's going on.
Got to reserve my username or handle or whatever they call it.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. Will it peak? I wonder, will it be able to capture the sentiment that Twitter had? And I think that's the one thing I saw from a lot of people who said that, you know, if Twitter goes, that's it, they're done. They're not going to go over Threads and restart this whole thing. Because
no,
Twitter had something about it, you know, that just made it.
But is it still there? Or is it just that's because what we're using now? We're so used to using it.
On the boys' basis of that, did you see the tweet from our good friend, in inverted commas, Troy Hunt, you know, he of Have I Been Pwned? And he had a tweet that he had the other day that was from 2022, that when Elon took over, and it said basically, look, you know, things are still working. And it's, you know, this is 20, he put the same thing in, saying, look, it's still working. And do you know what? As much as of all the issues and the complaints, Twitter does still work, doesn't it? You know?
It does, yeah.
A tweet, you know. I do find the feed is weird. I still do not like the following For You tab that doesn't show me things all the time. But there are still engagement. There's still people there. You know, we found out the other week about the sad news, and again, that's something I probably wanted to mention, about the sad passing of Kevin Mitnick, you know, legendary hacker and a social engineer who sadly passed away earlier this month from pancreatic cancer. And again, you know, that news, you know, you sent me a link to that off Twitter, didn't you?
And again,
you know, those kind of bits of news information, you know, are there as well. And again, for me, I read lots of stories about his life, things I knew about from in his books, but also more personal anecdotes that people were posting of their interactions with him. Again, you know, in Twitter. And, you know, interestingly, because of people signing up for Twitter Blue, I got to read kind of longer tweets, you know, that were a little bit more than, was nice, actually. It worked, you know. But it doesn't mean I'm signing up for it. But again, you know, Twitter's still there. I think it still does have a place, despite Elon's, I don't know, incessantness to blow it into space and destroy it. And even if it calls it X, nobody is going to call that X apart from journalists, are they?
No, it's still Twitter. It's still tweets, yeah.
But there we go. But talking of Meta anyway as well. So Meta, their privacy issues really just continue to go on, don't they?
This is probably why we don't have friends in Europe yet, isn't it?
And that would be around the latest fine that they're racking up in Norway now, then, isn't it?
So it is.
Norway's data protection regulator has issued a press release saying that if Meta doesn't take remedial action based on privacy violations in a country, they will be racking up £1 million a day, which is equivalent to a $100,000 fine, from the 4th of August till November the 3rd. That's quite something, isn't it?
I mean, their statement was brilliant, though.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, please. Yeah, I mean.
It is so clear that this is illegal and that we need to intervene now and immediately. That was referring to the amount of data it is collecting and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not just that, though. It's just been constant recently, hasn't it? So, especially in Europe. So this kind of follows on from the European Court ruling banning Meta from harvesting user data like locations, behavior, and more for advertising. We had Ireland's data regulator, the DPC, ruled that Meta can't gather user data for behavioral advertising as well. And they were hit with a record-breaking, was it €1.2 billion fine for transferring EU user data to servers in the US.
And this, you know, we've talked about, I mean, I think we talked about that fine before, and it's somewhere in Meta, there must be somebody that their job is just to sit there and be like, here comes another one.
Right, I'll put in the bank details, we'll send it over.
Just fill out the forms and send it back. Because at what point do your ethical team, if there is one, of, you know, some ethics and compliance team.
There is one at Twitter, but there might be one at Meta, maybe.
There might be one at Meta. They haven't fired everybody. At what point do you just go, right, stop, guys, we've got an...
Come on, seriously, again?
We've got a systemic problem here. We need to fix this. What is it? Well, we're getting fined every 5 minutes.
I think the systemic problem's at the top, so that's always a problem.
Oh, yeah. So how do you cut the head off a snake? Does that solve the problem? You know, and the fact, but Meta again, though, right? It's just the way they come out. So Meta then, in a statement to, was it the Data Tilsnitt, I probably butchered that wrong, the Norway Privacy Commission. Well, Meta's response, and they told Reuters this, was that they were reviewing the decision and that the decision wouldn't immediately impact his services. We continue to constructively engage with the Irish DPC, who is the lead regulator in the EU, because that's where they're based, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regarding our compliance and around its decision. And then it goes on to say around the debate around the legal basis have been ongoing for some time and businesses continue to face a lack of regulatory certainty. I don't think so. I think the regulatory certainty is pretty much cast iron in this state, isn't it?
Exactly. I think everyone's on the same book, more or less, here.
Apart from yourselves, because, you know, everybody but Meta's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we could just... Can we not interpret this slightly differently? And everybody's going,
no.
Well,
we're going to try anyway.
Yeah, they're like, nope. Can't see that coming. Not working for me. But, you know, it's just a classic case of, if I just look at you and shrug my shoulders, does it go away?
Could I put a briefcase full of cash?
Is it sliding across the table? Yeah, we're not even going to go for subtleties.
We need a lot of briefcases.
It's like, bring in the truck. Boop, boop, boop.
I was just trying to have a think. So that $100,000 a day, what, for 4th of August to the 3rd of November, it's what, about 3 months, isn't it? So... That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, even if you were to go with what, you know, basically saying as, let's just say, you know, 30 times, 100,000, that's 3 million, isn't it? Off the bat there, straight off the bat.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, yeah, again, what's 3 million in the ocean, you know, for Meta? Because that's one thing I'd love to see. Given they're a public traded company, somewhere in their filing somewhere should be how much money they are paying out for
fines and fines. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, moving on then, something slightly different this week. Let's talk about Netflix then. So I've still got a Netflix account. I don't think you have you?
No. I signed up for trial Netflix and just wasn't really getting much value out of it. But yeah, as I said, I know you do, don't you? Which Netflix account have you got?
So we're on the Netflix standard account, which costs me, I think, about £12 a month or something. I say that. I think it's
$10.99.
Thank you very much. Which gets me two devices simultaneously and HD 1080p content. Now, I am the world's worst with Netflix because I could spend half an hour just going around the carousel.
Too much choice, yeah?
Do you know what? It's the bane. I've said this before, but it is the bane of the modern world. Is every one of these streaming services is just a thought experiment in finding something to watch. Because you just find yourself going round and round and round and round. And by the time you've decided to watch something, you've either run out of time, i.e. like it's bedtime, or you've given up. And you go back to watch something you've watched before because it's so much choice.
You just need to go back to 5 channels, don't you? None of the streams have just 5 channels. Just choose one channel and go for it.
5 channels, no pausing, no recording. I mean, I'm trying to tell my kids the other day, my son was like, oh, Dad, I really hate when we've got to watch adverts. I was like, Dad, I was like...
Can't you skip these? No, this is live TV. That's not the way it works.
You do realise, this is all we had, you know. And before there was 5 channels, there was 4 channels. And before there was 4 channels, there was even 3 channels.
Exactly.
And I said, yes, but I was even older. There was, you know, eventually 1.
We didn't even have it in colour.
You know, yes, but we're not that old. But, you know, this is just the, ridiculousness about it. But so Netflix did have, before that, a basic tier, which was 720p and one device. And they did have an ad channel, didn't they? So a basic one.
Yeah, so they still have basic with ads, which is $4.99. So, but they used to have one up called just basic, where you still got the 720p stream, just one of them, but you got no ads. But they've ditched that one. So if you want to get rid of ads now, you basically need to jump to the one you're on, the standard stream, at $10.99. So more than doubling your price if you want to get rid of ads.
And this is the thing, right? So their prices have just leapt. I mean, they've gone up at the moment. So I'm paying, like I say, at the minute. What was it, £11 a month, give or take, for 2 devices. And if you try and watch it on more than 2 devices, obviously, it won't let you do it. If you try and download stuff, on one device and another one, it gets upset. Not that you're watching it simultaneously on 2 devices, but you've tried to download stuff on another device, you have to go find the other device. So, I wanted to go for some business travel. I wanted to download Netflix onto my iPad, and it said, you can't do it. I was like, what? And it was basically saying some error about, go check other devices. So I had to go off and look for one of my kids' Kindles, you know, one of my daughters had downloaded, I don't know, a load of stuff, God knows what. So I had to wipe all that off, then get it to sync, then so I could download something. Right?
Oh, wow.
I pay less money, theoretically, for Disney Plus. I can watch that on as many devices pretty much as I want. I can download as much stuff as I want. And the same with Apple TV. Yet Netflix just seems to be like, no, we're going to lock you into this. And by the way, if you don't want to pay a fortune, we're going to give you ads, which is the whole reason why you wanted a streaming service in the first place, because you didn't want ads.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ludicrous. I mean, they are trying to pull back this whole model around the password sharing, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
You know, which is, you know, that password sharing is a whole issue now, and they're trying to stop that. But I don't know. I feel this whole streaming thing is about to go bang. We've got too much of it.
It's too many now, which is exactly the same problem we had with the old cable TV, wasn't it? You had so many different plans. And it's, but now, yeah, we just, if you want to watch all your stuff on streaming, you need about 20 different streaming options.
I mean, like I say, I've got Disney Plus, I've got Apple TV, I've got Prime, you know, and I've got Netflix. Prime is obviously included with Prime because, you know, we spend a lot of money with Amazon.
Yeah.
Disney Plus, I kind of get a lot. I think we do get a lot of value out of that, funnily enough.
Not necessarily you, but the kids, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably not watching enough of it to value it myself, but there you go. I think we watch enough of The Simpsons on it to justify the price of it, put it that way.
Yeah.
Apple TV, well, yeah. Apple TV is about to re-earn its keep because Foundation and Invasion are back.
Yep.
So for me, and I've just watched Silo. So actually, for me, that's worked in Hijack. Okay, so Apple TV is what I like to think is the high bar of streaming TV services.
Yeah, they're good. They are quality. I mean, we watch a fair amount of Apple TV series, and they are very good quality. We've enjoyed them. I just think there's probably not enough content yet, but I think it's getting there.
It's getting there. And, you know, I think some of the stats I read recently showed that Apple TV was on par with HBO now in terms of the streaming services, in terms of viewers. But, yeah, I class Apple's kind of the highbrow, you know, streaming. Yeah. But Netflix, right, I'd get rid of Netflix if it wasn't for my kids. My youngest two, they mainline Netflix, you know, like age-appropriate cartoons and stuff. And actually, there's quite, ironically, there's a lot of educational cartoons on there for the younger kids, you know, they like the under eights. And they love it. I would get rid of it if it wasn't for those two. It just, I could probably live without it. I could get that stuff elsewhere, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I could save myself some money a month. But it's just, yeah, it's just a real pain. I do wonder, yeah, whether we've hit peak streaming. I think that's the problem now.
I think we have, and it's the price is just going up and up. And said you need more than one plan now, so you're probably spending £30-40 or more a month on streaming plans.
Yeah, which and also that's the other thing in the UK. I've got Sky TV.
Yep.
You know, which is, you know, for those in you know American friends, your cable, if you will. And I kind of want to get rid of that, but then I'd be stuck with having to use iPlayer and all of the on-demand streaming services for our terrestrial channels. You know, I didn't know if you know this, but BBC iPlayer has a problem with subtitles on Apple TV.
Oh, does it? No, I did not. Didn't realise that.
So there's a problem with subtitle displays on Apple TV, BBC iPlayer app.
Could you not go to FreeSat?
But that kind of still, trying to get rid of it all, you know?
Oh, just thinking you have no monthly bill to pay with FreeSat.
No, you're right, we wouldn't. That's a very good point.
They do integrate the services into the boxes like iPlayer and all that kind of stuff.
That is a good possibility, I have to say, and you know, one that I need to consider. Funnily enough, I've just had to replace the Skybox that's given up the ghost after 6 years.
Oh, really? So you've lost all your recordings then because you can't transfer those to a new box?
Yeah, but Sky, it was really simple. I went online, I went to Sky, I filled out the form. 24 hours later, courier delivered new box. I gave him the old box.
Nice.
Plugged it in, off you went. Yeah, couldn't really fault that, I had to say. It was very, very simple.
Yeah.
The hard disk in the other one had 2 terabyte spinning rust.
Yeah.
And it was starting to squeal like a pig every time you rewound anything. It was, doing a lot of heads, you know, the head squeaking, you know.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
But yes, but there you go. Okay, then. So moving away from Netflix, let's talk about data transfer then. And, you've got to explain this to me. So this is not Wi-Fi. This is Li-Fi.
So yeah. So the IEEE standards body, the people responsible for things like approving Wi-Fi standards, they formally ratified Li-Fi. So this is lo-fi uses light rather than radio to transmit data. So I think infrared, you know, something we can't see, but you can use that to transfer data at, I think they said up to 9.6 gigabits per second using that invisible infrared light. So yeah, I think it's another thing that can sit by Wi-Fi. So I've seen some things where you've got Wi-Fi access points that also have this Li-Fi in it. So if your device can use this, then it could switch between Wi-Fi and Li-Fi depending on what's going to get the best data transfer. So, you know, if you've got obstruction of the line of sight to your access point, it could use Wi-Fi. If there's interference on Wi-Fi, it could switch to Li-Fi to give you that direct connection.
So it would bounce between them then? You wouldn't be aware of the transfer?
No, it should happen seamlessly. I think that's the kind of way they go. I think, obviously, you'll get some dedicated devices that are only Li-Fi. I mean, I think there was another standard, I can't remember who it was now, that Philips Hue were involved in. They were using their light bulbs to send data. Okay. But that's not the same Li-Fi standard as the IEEE have just ratified.
So when I was looking at this, I saw the poster, was it from Pure Li-Fi, which is one of the companies that has these equipment. And I was kind of seeing the picture of it. And it, what they had, wasn't it, like a picture of an office or something with the Li-Fi points mounted in the ceiling, shining down, which I, because I was saying to you, wasn't I, in the preamble, I was like, well, how the hell does that work? What if you walk in front of it? And I was thinking, like, I'll break it. But I suppose if you've got it coming down from a ceiling and it's kind of casting across a wider area, the chance of interference or anything like that is far less, isn't it?
But I mean, it's still going to be point to point, isn't it? That access point is going to be capable of sending multiple beams of light.
Yeah, I was quite impressed by their confidence in military-grade privacy, saying it's inherently secure technology already used by defence and government organisations to enable connectivity when never before possible. I was slightly sceptical that it's anybody that says that in their... asking for trouble, isn't it?
I suppose it's more difficult to pick up an infrared beam than it is a Wi-Fi one, because you'd need to be directly in its path.
Yeah, I know.
And obviously there's a man standing behind you with a giant machine trying to pick you, you notice him. As opposed to Wi-Fi that kind of radiates everywhere.
It's like, what have you got there? Some kind of large mirror.
Just ignore the large man behind you.
Yeah, that's nothing. We're just testing the lights. So 9.6 gigabits per second, that's not bad. I mean, that's close to the old 10 gig of Ethernet, isn't it?
That's certainly faster than Wi-Fi. I mean, if it can do that, it's an up to speed, isn't it? Like, Wi-Fi is up to X amount, but you never really get there. So I don't know if this is like that as well.
I mean, I'd be quite interested in this. I bet it's not cheap, though.
Probably not, to start off with.
I wonder, though, whether or not... I mean, I suppose if you had it, like, I'm just trying to envision how it is. Maybe in a, like you say, the light fittings, built into all the light fittings, and then maybe on the desks. I don't know, it's quite a kind of weird technology, I suppose, actually. But I'd not heard of it before. I'd heard of similar, but I hadn't heard of Li-Fi.
No.
I guess, you know, yeah, why not? Interesting concept, though.
We'll see if we actually see it in retail and for consumers, or whether it just stays very much military, government, business, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I've got to find. We'll try to find out how much one costs. That's
a lot of money.
It was interesting, though, wasn't it? The reason, apparently one of the reasons we're hearing a lot about it is because the IEEE, you know, who make the standards, isn't it? Have hired the man who invented the name, isn't it? Great name. Dr. Harold Haas.
Ah, yeah. So they've hired him and he's just got some new products out. He's hawking, isn't he? So, yeah.
I was like, always be selling, my friend. Always be selling.
Yeah, definitely.
Talking of selling then. So it appears that Sony and Microsoft have decided to bury the hatchet, haven't they, over Call of Duty, and have finally agreed on a binding agreement to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation following, and I stress here, following the hopeful Activision Blizzard acquisition, because it still hasn't gone through. But assuming it goes through, PlayStation will continue to get COD, which is what Microsoft has said from the first get-go on this.
Well, it is. But, I mean... unsurprisingly, we've heard a lot of fanfare from Microsoft about this agreement signed with Sony. We've heard nothing from Sony corroborating it.
No, nothing at all.
They've gone very silent. There's no tweet saying, yes, we signed up, or this is all lies, and we haven't. It's just been radio silence on the matter.
And I love the fact that, you know, the emails that came out, didn't it, during the court court case was, you know, the back up Microsoft's point on this, because, you know, the one that Phil Spencer sent, didn't it, to his counterpart, Jim Ryan,
that's it,
back in May of last year, saying, look, you know, I'm following to write up. It's almost like he knew, wasn't it? Saying, look, you know, prior discussions, we intend to honor all existing agreements. And then it also says that we would continue to keep those agreements on the franchise through to December 31st, 2027. And his final statement in that is, I quote, I've said before, this is the right thing to do for gamers and for the industry, and I stand by that. I mean, so you can argue, you know, for all along, Microsoft publicly have said the same thing.
Yeah.
All the way through, it's been Sony. So now, you know, now this is out of the way. We've now just got to wait for the acquisition to go ahead. Though that has been extended, hasn't it, by a couple of months?
Yeah, the old CMA still. So, So what we've got, CMA and Microsoft, they've agreed to pause their legal battles to negotiate how the transaction might be modified in order to kind of address the CMA's cloud gaming concerns. And kind of with that, the CMA has issued a notice of extension for the overall investigation. So it was obviously finished on July the 18th. It's now moved to August the 29th while they sort out whatever this new deal is going to look like, or what we're losing in the UK.
Well, yes.
Which is more likely going to be, isn't it?
It is. And talking about what we're losing in next week, a little sneak peek for next week's show. We're going to talk a little bit around a story we talked about a few weeks ago, which is the coming of the encryption bill, isn't it? And what we could lose here in the UK. So, related to that. But bear with me just a second. Oh, sorry. This COVID still got me coughing. So I think you're right. What could we lose here? Could it be cloud gaming? Possibly.
So betting that disappears out of our Game Pass.
which if it does, I'll be really annoyed because I've just told my kids how they...
especially if we still pay the same price for it.
Still the same price, and I was hoping if the Microsoft Family Plan finally gets launched, I'd be able to get them to do it on their iPad. But yes, that may or may not happen now.
We'll have to wait and see on that one, but I'm sure we're losing something.
We are going to lose something. There will definitely be something in it. But, you know, it does look very likely that this is going to go ahead, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will do. Just whether it will quite be the same initial plan, who knows?
I mean, look, there are going to be exclusives. There's always going to be exclusives. We've said this before. We've said it again. This was never about COD. COD was just the red herring here, wasn't it? The kind of bait on the end of the hook. It was never about this. This was more about Sony getting their nose out of joint that Microsoft was buying a chunk of the industry up. That was all this was about. And Sony getting their nose completely out of joint over it, despite doing very similar things for a very long time, isn't it?
So, well, yeah, they didn't like it being done to them. They're quite happy to do it to other people.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so we'll find out this. So hopefully we'll be able to report on this by the end of the month. Hopefully there'll be some news, an update on the investigation and whether or not this is going to go ahead in the UK. But we'll, of course, give you the latest on that as soon as it breaks here in about 3 weeks time, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So the laughs keep on coming, don't they?
They do.
So Russia's FSB, their secret spies, have basically now extended its ban on iPhones to all government officials, and not just iPhones. It now includes iPad, basically anything Apple, iPads, Macs, your watch. The reason, though, and this is a good one, it claims that Apple is providing the NSA with a backdoor into its devices, allowing the US Secret Service to spy on Russian officials.
I mean, it gets better, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it gets better. Okay, so obviously, I think this might be a problem, though. Obviously, the popularity of Apple devices in Russia is creating skepticism over how many officials are actually going to comply with this ban. Apparently, nobody applied. Nobody stuck to the previous ban. It was just widely ignored. And even this time, the FSB is only saying it's banning it for work purposes while you still carry on using it for your personal device.
I mean, it can't work both ways, can it? I mean, this is like somebody got there like quickly. I mean, quickly stop listening because guess what? You know, Alexa's listening to every word you said and it's an NSA plot. I mean, this is so ridiculous. Look, if there are crazier things that have happened in the world, and I would go as far as saying that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some weird zero-day exploit that the NSA has got on an iPhone. Did Apple give them access to it? I strongly doubt that has happened.
No.
Has the NSA potentially got a zero-day in iOS? That's that's probably very likely.
The same as it's probably very likely they've got it in Android too, but it's very unlikely that Google gave it to them.
Exactly. I mean, if you go back to the WannaCry issue, the whole reason we had WannaCry and subsequent variations of RAW was because, you know, the NSA had their toolkit, internal blue toolkit, stolen. And this is the same thing here. So look, the reality is if Russia thinks that they're getting hacked in their iPhones by the NSA or other government agencies, the reality is it's probably already happened. Is it that Apple's created a backdoor? I strongly doubt that, because it would not be in Apple's interest, given where they want to sell their products across the world, to do that. And it's just hilarious, isn't it? That, you know, as you say, it's just another way, I think, that the Russia has to crack down.
Of course.
Because an iPhone is a luxurious Western product, and it doesn't look good, does it, if all of their elected officials, or should we say people in power, are using these great Western, you know, high-end equipment whilst they're under sanction and they're, you know, technically at war with the West, if you will, you know, the great Satan that is the United States, and, you know, and their products are great. So realistically, this is more of a propaganda piece, isn't it?
It always is.
Stop using, you know, these terrible Apple devices whilst they're going, I love my Apple device.
Shiny.
I'm personally surprised that the services still work there. I'm surprised that Apple hasn't pulled the plug on half of the services there, quite frankly.
Maybe they're using VPNs.
Well, I did wonder that. I mean, who knows? Could they be?
Maybe. I don't know.
So if you are in Russia, then you won't be using your iPhone, you won't be using your iPad, and now you won't be using your Mac.
Or your watch.
Yes. Or your watch. Watch out for Windows as well. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Thank you. Dangerous. Thank you. Week. Indeed. Oh, God. It does make you wonder, isn't it? It does make you wonder. I was just trying to think of anything else that they're going to ban, because we saw before, didn't it, they have their, do you remember, was it last year or the year before when they launched their own PC, wasn't it, and their own operating system?
Oh, yes.
It looked like something out of 2001, didn't it? And the CPUs, wasn't it, last year we talked about the Russian CPUs.
We did.
Oh, just, I'm waiting for the Russian iPhone now. That's the next one, is it?
it'll be a clone imported from China.
It probably will be, probably. Well, in that case, then. And no, we're not talking about Russian iPhone clones.
No.
So we are strongly into, you know, Apple rumor territory. You know, we are weeks away from the annual iPhone event in September, where we will probably very likely get to see the iPhone 15, well, guaranteed to see the iPhone 15, unless they change the name of it. We may also see some new Macs. Now, I'm not sure about this, but our holy tipster over at Bloomberg of German, Phil, he thinks we know, doesn't he?
He's saying that we'll get another event maybe in October, after the iPhone event, well, there's going to be some new products based on the M3 system on chip. Two brand new iMacs with the M3 in, a 13-inch MacBook Air and a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Obviously, details are scant at the moment, but the new chipset is likely to feature or won't feature many more CPUs or GPU cores than the current M2 SoC. But still kind of expected to have big performance increases in power efficiency, because we're moving to TSMC's 3-nanometer process for the M3 chip, apparently.
See, I don't think we'll see... Now, I might be wrong. I don't think we'll see a new MacBook Air that soon. I think, given the fact that they've just dropped the 15-inch MacBook Air M2 one, I would say that, you know, and you can get 13-inch... MacBook Air, can't you, with the M2 as well. I would say it's more likely we'll see iMacs, because the current iMac 24-inch hasn't been updated for a little while, is it, really?
No.
Even though they are beautifully coloured. I went to the Apple store the other day, had a look at them.
I did, yeah.
You know what? They really are nice machines. You know, if I wanted a PC, not PC, you know what I mean? If I wanted a computer in the house somewhere, you know, as a statement, they are really nice machines. You know?
Yeah.
And my son was really taken with it as well. He was kind of really, he's like, Dad, where's the computer? I was like, you're looking at it. Yeah, but where's the box? I was like, no.
In the back.
Like, I was like, that is it. It's like, what? And I'm like, yes. But I think, yeah, so my view, I reckon we'll probably likely see new IMAX. That's probably true. Whether we'll see the rumored 32-inch iMac, I doubt. That's
Could do have a bigger one, though. They're too small, I think. So like 24-inch, yeah, that's too small.
It wasn't very big. You're right. It wasn't very big at all.
My side monitor that's on its, well, it's sitting vertically rather than horizontally, is a 25-inch. 24 is just tiny.
Yeah, so the other one is obviously, the other point here was about having a 13-inch MacBook Pro, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I thought they'd killed the 13-inch MacBook Pro because I thought the reason for having the 14-inch was 14 and 16-inch.
Well, yeah, me too, but who knows? It's the German. He's probably going to be right.
I'm just puzzled by that one, that's all. But we'll have to... Yeah,
it's all getting muddy. We've got a 13-inch MacBook Air and a 15-inch MacBook Air now, haven't we?
Well, we have, isn't it? I mean, I had a look at that MacBook Air.
What, the new 15?
Yeah. it was really nice. I really liked it. Really like beautiful in the space gray or midnight black, what they call it, you know. Really nice machine. But I was just like, what is the point of it? You know, I really liked it. And I really thought to myself, actually, you know what? If I didn't need all the power, you know what? It probably would run everything.
Yeah. I imagine so.
But then I thought to myself, it's still 15 inch though, isn't it?
Yeah. Still quite big.
It's still quite big, but it was very light. And weirdly, right, what I found was that it felt lighter than a MacBook Pro. And I think the reason... I think, yeah, but there's not much in it. We're talking like, you know, a couple hundred grams. I think it was more psychological because of the way the weight spread out.
Okay.
But it's so thin. There's no getting away from how thin that thing is. It is unbelievably thin. I was really tempted the other day. I was like, you know, I've been thinking about getting a Mac Mini. I really want a Mac Mini. And I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I could just do with a light laptop to throw in my bag all the time and go everywhere with.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what are you doing? Why would I? Because I was like, maybe I'll just
doing something to buy another machine, aren't you? Yeah, is that to go with the studio?
Yeah. I was like, stop. Back it up. But yeah, so I'm very tempted by the Mac Mini M2 Pro. I think that's definitely where I'm going to end up. But I just need to work out how to finance said machine.
Start looking down the back of that sofa.
Yes, indeed. Well, on that point, then, it's probably a good place for us to wrap up for this week. We'll be back next week, then, for episode 141. And as teed up, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we could lose next week. We'll talk about next week some of the things we could lose if the proposed new bill comes into play, which is covering some of the encryption fees. Now, we talked about some of this earlier in the year, but there seems to be some real concern now in the industry that people like WhatsApp, Apple, and others are not bluffing about removing services if this new legislation goes ahead. So we will cover that. This week in coming up is Black Hat in America. So we'll give you the latest stories on that as it breaks. And we'll give you some more of the rumors that are coming up with iOS 17 and, of course, iPhone 15, which are coming soon.
Yeah.
But until then, of course, you can find us on Twitter. We're still there. On X. We're on X at Weekly Tech Rant. And, of course, all of our show notes at techrant.online. And of course, wherever you get your podcasts, unless you're in Russia. Right then, with that, I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good evening, all.